The Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Didn't they say those guys were heading for Disneyland or something?
Disney World.
How do they even know that? Or is it just sort of the logic?
Hey, I'll be in Disney World next week.
Did they just sort of assume that everyone hates Disney World as much as we do? Is it just, they sort of know that hatred of Disney is a universal concept now? All right. Let's see. Rick, Merry Christmas to the whole gang down at the Rick Emerson Show from Vancouver Pipe and Tobacco. And then he sent an F-mat with a 4-foot hand-blown glass water pipe for only $150.
This F-mat is sponsored by Vancouver Pipe and Tobacco.
Oh, he's a savvy bastard. That's Jay. Vancouver Pipe and Tobacco. All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. All right, I think we've got the... All right, the microphone situation is... It's been jerry-rigged. We've sort of got this... Rube Goldberg solution.
Yeah,
going on. So, all right. Coming up later on this hour, we got a year-end top five coming up as well. We got a follow-up. Now, today's How Chicks Think question is just, I don't want to say it's irritating, but it's just wrong. It's wrong on a lot of levels. Do you understand why when you hear this? We got a follow-up question to How Chicks Think, kind of with Julie later on today. Plus, a holiday edition of The Office Confidential and Richard Nunn from the WB. It's a Monday after Christmas. We're here. We're live. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. And, by the way, it should be noted for those playing along with the Rick Emerson Neuroses game at home. Over the holiday season, I'm the proud owner, and I said I would never own one. I said that I would never possess one of these things, and yet look how easily shallow materialism changes my mind. It's like how Tim was all anti-SUV until he got one, and then suddenly, oh, the sweet comfort of more car than I'll ever really need. Ditto for me with the Palm. So I got the Palm now, which is a boon to my type A obsessive compulsive disorder. All my anal retentive tendencies can now just be given full reign, full play. And now I can just track every nanosecond of my life.
So you've been making fun of everybody else that has one of those for like the last how many years?
I think it's because I secretly knew that if I got one, it would just be simultaneously the best and worst thing that could ever happen to my life. Because it's not like I'm under-regimented as it is now. I mean, you all know. You come by the... You just come to my desk any time in the morning before the show, and it's like, and I've just got every single moment, like every 15 seconds of my morning before we go on the air, and then once we get on the show, it's all bracketed out, and I'm always obsessive about everything. I'm always dwelling on every single moment of my day revolving around the show. And so I'm writing a little notes to myself in my hand. And so now I got to tell you, I had this Palm, I charged it, and within about 4 hours of turning it on Christmas Day, I had 17 things on the to-do list. And it's like on December 12th, like what could there possibly be to do on Christmas other than like eat and break wind occasionally and then scratch yourself? But I had like 17 different things on there because I'm just sick. I'm not right. I'm not like other people. All right, the new mic echoes quite a lot. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. It's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
From the
easy
KOTK
way to solve
KOTK
that.
Newsroom.
Stop banging on the counter.
Northwest update.
That would be true, wouldn't it? Say, this news is brought to you by AutoZone. Did you know if your car's battery is more than 3 years old, it may not make it through another cold winter? You'll be stranded. So, go to AutoZone for a new battery today. Get into the zone. AutoZone.
Your companions will eat your cold and lifeless body.
Meanwhile, rivers in southwestern Oregon expected to crest in the flood stage later today and tomorrow. It's all the fault of El Nino. The threat of flooding extends from the Umpqua River south to the Klamath River in northern California and east of the Cascade Range. Make sure you have a good car battery if you're out there. Low-lying pasture land along the Coquille River in Coos County, it'll be buried in water. No major flooding expected in urban areas, so those of us who live here, not a problem. Everyone should be living in the city anyway. Breaking news, the Trailblazers say they don't want to buy the Portland Fire, opting instead to turn it over to the Women's Basketball League, whatever that is, so the Fire is for sale. Anybody want to buy a women's basketball team?
Have you got pocket changes?
I got like $6.
What's the Women's Basketball League anyway?
I don't know. I've never been to one of these games.
No one has. That's the whole point. If anybody had actually gone to the games, the team wouldn't be for sale, it seems to me.
The Seattle area skier killed 4 others buried alive during an avalanche near Crystal Mountain Ski Area. The snow buried 4 members of a group of 7 They had a lot of experience, but the ski patrol says avalanches just don't care.
Every time it's so tough, your heart just goes out to these people. They were out there doing the same things we love to do. And, you know, the avalanche doesn't care who you are, doesn't care how much you know.
Meanwhile, Playboy centerfolds are getting less curvaceous. That's true. The curves of Playboy centerfold models have gradually flattened out over the past 50 years.
That seems unlikely.
Giving way to a more androgynous look. Analyzing every Playboy centerfold since the first one in 1953. Why, that's almost 50 years ago. They found that the model's weight hasn't changed much over time, but busts and hips have diminished, while waist have become less tapered.
That's completely untrue. That's a completely bogus story. There's just no way that that's the case.
That's what it says here. Is it simply that Playboy is not out of touch with what men find to be attractive? I guess this is a point of discussion, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know that anybody looks at Playboy magazine and thinks androgyny. I don't really know that that's the case at all. But when you consider that the two most... Who are the two most prominent Playboy playmates of the last 20 years? I mean, it'd be Anna Nicole Smith and Pam Anderson, who are nobody's idea of androgyny. Because that's what Playboy's full of. Just full of flat-chested, boyish women, huh? Just more non-curvy women than you can shake a stick at. All right.
And from around the world, smoke is spewing from the Niagara nuclear plant in Japan. Police officials said there's no sign of radioactive leakage, apparently from a chemical reaction to a sulfuric acid that somebody dumped on the floor. So we'll have more on that from Japan a little bit later. Arnold Schwarzenegger's film Collateral Damage has moved to early 2002. Well, was moved 2002 when the plot, he plays a fireman out to revenge an international terrorist, killed his family in a bombing, was too close to the events of 9/11. Schwarzenegger says video rentals of terrorist action films were in demand after the 9/11 attacks.
Even after, right after the September 11th tragedy, there was a story in the LA Times, and I think it was picked up nationwide, that the video rentals.
This doesn't even sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The type of movies that deal with terrorism, if it is Die Hard or True Lies or whatever.
It sounds like
all
Rena Hoek.
Those videos were out. They were all rented because people, for some reason or other, had such an unbelievable interest in movies that
it is me they love.
I think it had to do with a lot of people saying in the interviews. It had to do with the fact that there was always a positive outcome.
Whatever. Whatever you say, man. You know, I don't know why nobody went to see your film. When's the last time Arnold Schwarzenegger had a film that was successful?
I don't know.
Has he had a hit movie since T2?
Nobody will with T3.
What about True Lies?
Now, True Lies was moderately successful. That wasn't very good, though. I mean, I guess it did okay at the box office. It's on TNT tonight.
Yeah, let me look here.
True Lies is like the worst James Cameron film ever. Even Piranha 2, The Spawning, which features not only Piranha, but Flying Piranha, is better than True Lies.
How so? I thought it was pretty cool.
I don't know. True Lies didn't do much for me. I guess it was just because he did.
Come on.
Kindergarten Cop is on tonight.
It's not a Thuma.
It's not at all.
But he did, and can I just tell you this? Is it me or is everybody's first reaction upon being told that something is a tumor to say that it's not a tumor and to say it exactly like Arnold Schwarzenegger? That's a whole societal illness, man. As soon as you hear somebody's got a tumor, immediately, now you may not say it out loud, but that thought immediately comes into your head to say that line. I don't know why. It's like we all just got talking points, facts to us on that or something. But Cameron did T2 and then he did The Abyss, which is a much underrated film, by the way. The Abyss is a fine film. Didn't do all that well at the box office. Great film, though. And then he followed it up with True Lies, and then Titanic, I guess. But yeah, I'm not with the True Lies action. Jamie Lee Curtis looks all hot in that too, for having a penis and all.
And it's got Elijah Dushku in it.
Oh, that's right. She's the daughter.
How can you not dig that movie?
I need to see it again because this happens when you see a movie and it's your
Tom
expectations
Arnold with
are
all the good
high.
One-liners and
Tom
everything.
Tom Arnold is the best thing about
he
that film,
the
by
movie.
The way. Tom Arnold is the saving grace of True Lies. I guess I'll have to go see it again. It's like Mallrats, where I did, which is crap when it came out, and I saw it again a few years later, and I realized that I'd been unduly harsh in my review of it. All right, maybe I'll see it again.
One of Steven Spielberg's most famous films, E.T., celebrated 20 years with a theatrical re-release that posted a few updates and added scenes. He talks about his reasons for re-releasing the film.
I always felt that we should do something for the 20th anniversary, you know, to commemorate it. And I think early in the 90s, I went to Universal and I said, would you consider on this 20th anniversary coming out in movie theaters where I feel it should be seen? It's a different experience watching any movie on a small screen compared to a big screen. I've seen Casablanca 25 times, but about 6 months ago, I ran it for the first time in 35 millimeter on a big screen in the theater. And it was like seeing it for the first time.
All right. I'm considering defiling and retroactively diminishing one of my own films. How do you feel about that? Go ahead, Stephen. Whatever you say. Did anybody go to see that? Is there anyone on planet Earth who went to see the E.T. re-release? There's no one.
I did.
You did?
Yeah, my sister and I did.
Did you see it? Well, of course you didn't see it in the theater when it first came out.
And we even bought Reese's Pieces.
How old were you born? 81?
80.
80. So you were 13 when it first came out? No, that doesn't make any sense.
Well,
no, you were 3, then not 13.
I'm like, what
the hell am I talking 13. About? Outcome-based education. So you were 3. So had you ever seen it before?
I've only seen it a couple times on video, actually.
No, wait. It came... It
83, wasn't it?
No, it came out in 82. Because 2002, 20-year anniversary of it.
Oh, I thought it was... Oh, was it for the 20-year? I thought it was just like a random release.
No, it was the 20-year anniversary. Yeah, she was about a year and a half old when it came out originally.
All I remember... Okay, so I was 10, or 9, I guess. 9 or 10 when it came out. All I remember is that I didn't like it the first time. I didn't like it the first time around, even though there was a line around the freaking block. Didn't like it when I was a kid. Didn't like it when I saw it again about 5 years later. You know, or whenever it is, it came out on video, 1990 or something. Didn't need to see it this time. And plus, he went back and altered all this. You know, once directors make movies, there ought to be some sort of a law or some sort of a Mossad strike force to keep Steven Spielberg and George Lucas going back, put their grubby little hands all over their movies. You know what I mean? Greedo shooting first, the guns become walkie-talkies. It's just wrong. It's apostasy before the Lord, and I won't have it.
Well, it's going to be rainy all day today and breezy, too. High's about 45. Rain tonight, rain tomorrow, and New Year's Day? Yes, even rain then. Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. And I never understood why it was the highest grossing Spielberg movie anyway, much less that... I don't know if it still is one of the highest grossing film of all time or something until Titanic came along. You know what I mean?
It was one of them, yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. It's just not a good movie. It's not a good movie. We all know that the ultimate Spielberg film, I mean, if you really had to pick the best Spielberg film of all time, we know, all of us know, that it would be either the first Indiana Jones film or perhaps Jaws. There's nothing else even close, with the possible exception of Indiana Jones' The Last Crusade. There's just nothing else that even
comes close. There's one that was done in black and white that you might be forgetting.
Schindler's List?
Yeah.
Oh, please, spare me. Spare me the socially conscious. No, I'm an artist now. I need to... See, because here's... And this is telling that once... you know, Schindler's List is a great movie and all. I don't have any problem with Schindler's List in and of itself. Let me clarify this. Schindler's List, in a vacuum, in and of itself, is a fine film. But after he made... Like, there was never a good Spielberg film after Schindler's List. Has Spielberg made anything good since then?
Saving Private Ryan?
Oh, please. Saving Private Ryan sucked. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows. You know what Saving Private...
You're insane.
I am not insane.
Go back to Kennewick.
Here's the thing about Saving Private Ryan, and when I say this, you will know that it's true. Saving Private Ryan, much like Full Metal Jacket and Stripes, suffers from this problem of a great opening and a lackluster middle and finishing act. We all know that Full Metal Jacket ends when Private Pyle kills himself, and that the whole movie is downhill from there, and there's nothing good after that. Ditto with Stripes. Has anybody ever watched the second half of Stripes with Bill Murray and Harold Ramis all the way through? No. You know why? Not any good. Not good. The presence of John...
What are you talking about? They take the RV into the whole encampment
Please.
And... come out the back with the big rocket launcher and the whole thing.
Just go watch Spies Like Us. You're really all bent on seeing it. The presence of John Larroquette notwithstanding. The second half of Stripes is a complete letdown. Ditto with Saving Private Ryan. Great opening 40-minute sequence. Everything after that, not so much. I'll give you
that there's a lull in the middle. It gets slow in the middle. But the opening 40 and the closing 25 or 30
and plus,
are pretty damn incredible.
Here's the other thing about Schindler's List. And again, let me note, and I'll say this one time in front of God and everybody's here, but Schindler's List is a fine movie. It's a great movie. Aaron Sorkin contributed to that, uncredited, but the dialogue was written by Aaron Sorkin, which is why the dialogue sparkles so much in the film. It's a great film, but it was a harbinger of just... it was singularly responsible for the downfall of Steven Spielberg's career, because after Schindler's List, he suddenly was under the impression, I'm an artist. I have to make movies that affect
downfall
people.
Downfall of his career in whose eyes? He's become wildly successful in everybody other than just like... all being good movies, but the mindless entertainment action movies that he's done... Okay, great.
Oh, but it's easier to make. In a lot of ways, it's easier to make a movie like Amistad than it is to make a movie like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, or to make a movie like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Because when you're doing a movie like Amistad, it's a perfect example, where it's this, you know, they're playing with all these hot-button issues like slavery and racism and rising up. And so you know from the get-go that that's going to be a movie where he's the emotional table is tipped in his favor to make it. I mean, because Steven Spielberg is a master at manipulating emotions, but it's a lot easier to do that when you're dealing with, you know, it's a lot easier to get the audience feeling the movie when you're dealing with, you know, some issue that's huge and traumatic than when you're just doing mindless fun. Mindless fun is hard to do well. And the proof of that is how many bad action movies come out.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm just saying for me. I'm just saying, for me, Schindler's List was the last great Spielberg film, but I hold it responsible for the downfall of his creative vision. I'm just saying for me, that's how it is. We get to Mark and Keith here in a second. Jason, you're in Gresham. What's up with you?
Hey, well, first off, Schindler's List is the best movie he's ever made.
It's a great film. I'm just saying that it killed his ability to make entertaining films after that.
You do have a point there, but, yeah, how long, like, Matt, how long did he research that to make that film?
Schindler's List?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean, it is a monumental movie-making effort. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, Schindler's List is a great movie. Artistically, it's a great movie. Emotionally, it succeeds on every level. But I feel like, here's my whole thing about Spielberg. Do you realize that, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think Spielberg ever got an Academy Award until Schindler's List. This is the man who made Jaws. This is the man who made E.T., for good or bad. This is the man who made the Indiana Jones films. Never got an Academy Award until Schindler's List, and so suddenly, you know what it is? It's like those rock bands that never get mainstream success or airplay until they do a ballad, and then suddenly every album's a ballad. You know what I mean? Every single's a ballad after that, because they found that it's a easy way to get attention. And that's what Spielberg is. Now, everything is the big tear-jerking struggle between good and evil.
But I don't think he did it to get attention. I think he did it because he had a passion for it.
Yeah, well, maybe. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
All right.
So my original question was T3. When is that?
Now, T3 is supposedly summer 2003. Is that
the
deal?
Yeah, I've already seen trailers for it. It was on the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I saw that too.
So it's they're saying it's summer, probably 4th of July release next year.
Is it going to suck as bad as the rest of them?
It doesn't look... All of the trailers, all the lead...
Hold on, what was that suck as bad as the rest of them? What is that about?
The other two, just... I think they tank.
What color is the sky in your world?
Right now it's gray, but...
Oh, yeah, no. T2 was the first rated R movie I ever went to. I was in fifth grade.
Oh, God.
It scared the crap out of me.
T2's a great film. From my money, the first Terminator is still better. It's more intense. It's grittier.
T1 has got the whole eyeball scene. That's just really dark.
I mean, T2 is a great action film. Maybe the best action film ever made that's not Die Hard. But T1 is so dark and so intense, just gut-wrenching, you know? All right. Go to my website. There's a link to the newest version of the trailer there, rickemerson.com.
Okay, F Matt with Steven Spielberg.
Excellent.
This F Matt is sponsored by NorthwestPipes.com.
I got to tell you right off, I don't like the idea of the new Terminator being a chick, though. That just washes wrong with me, because it seems like a cheap way to get attention.
Like Species or something?
It does. It seems like a cheap gimmick. Do you know what I mean? And it would be one thing if it was, I mean, it would be one thing if the Terminator wasn't some, like, really skinny, super hot chick. It would be one thing if it was, like, the, you know, some big, muscly China.
God, but I mean, the end of the trailer when he's like, didn't he say sometimes she'll be back?
Oh, and it just, you can always tell when they start trading on that past glory, when they hold, you know, it was bad.
There was a collective groan throughout the entire audience.
And you remember, there are those moments in trailers.
I'm holding out hope. Stop harshing my melon.
Look, there's no bigger fan of Terminator than I am, but I mean, the fact that James Cameron isn't coming back says a lot to me. I don't think Linda Hamilton's coming back. I don't think Edward Furlong. I think it's just Schwarzenegger. And it just smacks of desperation, you know what I mean? Because his last movies have all been bombs.
I know Edward Furlong's not in it, but is Linda Hamilton not back in it?
I don't think she's coming back, which is too bad, because let me tell you, man, Linda Hamilton is Sarah Connor. I'm not so much with the muscular chick love, but...
You like watching her grab that shotgun and cock it one-handed, come on.
Man, we all did. Her in that tight white, that wife beater shirt, I'm all about that. We're going to get Keith in a moment. Mark is a full-time listener in Portland. What's up with you?
Rick?
What do you got, man?
Did your parents put your swing set in front of a brick wall when you were a little kid?
Why?
How can you say that Saving Private Ryan is not a good movie?
It's got a great opening sequence. The rest of the movie's forgettable.
Rick, that movie made battle-hardened veterans leave the theater puking.
What?
I mean...
I'm not saying that it doesn't make you cry, but that no longer is sufficient from Spielberg, because it's easy to make audiences cry, you know?
Cheapity Christmas, Rick, I tell you.
Seriously, I mean, how hard is it to make an audience cry? Have a puppy, get it run over by something. Everybody gets the waterworks. It's easy to manipulate people's emotions. That opening sequence was just so great, though. It was a mistake to start the movie with it. Everybody knows, I think now, including Spielberg, that should have been at the end of the film.
But the end of the film was good, too, with everybody getting whacked left and right.
Well, I love whacking. I'm on the side of whacking, yes.
But the very end where the old man comes back, old Ryan comes back standing over the grave.
See, how shameless is that? See, that's the sort of thing where I just groan and I'm like, oh, please.
He's totally playing to the audience.
Yeah.
Rick, do you have a rock that pumps ice water? What's going on?
No. I'm not averse to cry. You all know that there have been movies I cried at. You all know. I'll tell you this. And this is, I haven't said this yet.
Dude, Old Yeller doesn't count.
No, everybody cried at Old Yeller. Don't lie. Everybody cried at the end of Old Yeller.
Oh.
And Where the Red Fern Grows. Come on. Everybody cried there. I'll tell you this. You know when I teared up? I teared up at the end of The Two Towers. Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers. When Sam gives that whole speech about the importance of stories. And he says, you know, do you think he'll ever write stories? I'm not giving anything away. But he says, you know, do you think he'll ever write stories about us? And he starts talking about the love of books and, you know, the great stories that you don't want them to end because they're so great. That was totally touching. I totally teared up there, you know, because I'm a guy who grew up reading Tolkien and all those great stories. So it's a good film. It's just not a great film.
Most everybody in the country would say that you're wrong on this. Didn't it win like 9 Academy Awards?
Oh, big deal. So what? Just because stuff wins 9 Academy Awards doesn't mean it's good. Dances with Wolves won like 9 Academy. When's the last time you watched it? Never, probably.
Actually, it was on when I was down in Klamath. It's the only thing on TV, man, I swear. It was on TNT.
I mean, just because stuff wins Academy Awards doesn't mean it's great. No, it's Marissa Tomei won an Academy Award. That means she's Meryl Streep.
Jesus.
I'm just saying. I feel like this has become a whole thing.
It has become a thing.
Well, all right. We got Scott and Chris.
The taste in movies has taken a notch down.
Back the hell up. I'm just expressing an opinion about Steven Spielberg. All right, got year-end top five coming up. How Chicks Think. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stick 'em up.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Jesus, guy can't speak the plain truth about it turning ugly.
Hey, Rick, somebody just called in and said there was a cartoon in the Oregonian about you.
Really?
Yeah, let's go find it.
In the actual Oregonian?
Yeah, that's what a listener said.
All right, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
Fisher Communications.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Coming up at 1:30, this news is brought to you by NACE. That's what it says, NASE. Need health insurance? Call 1-800-290-4108. The Mega Life and Health Insurance Company has affordable health plans for the self-employed. Call them at 1-800-290-4108. That's 1-800-290-4108. A Kenosha, Wisconsin man arrested for allegedly, get this, stalking his former girlfriend with the help of a tracking device attached under the hood of her car. The man might be charged with felony. The woman told the Kenosha, Wisconsin Police Department that her ex-boyfriend would just show up no matter where she was. He often found her at random places like bars or on the highway. The man was always able to find her because of a global positioning system tracking device. They found it attached between the radiator grill of the woman's car. Such devices use satellite and digital cellular technology to pinpoint the location of targets and are often used by car thieves. But in this case, it was used for good old-fashioned stalking. Rain at times today and breezy, highs about 45, and let's see, rain tonight, tomorrow, the New Year's Day as well. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by Budget Computers over the $200 laptop.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
503-250-1080. Coming up in a few minutes, we got one of our year-end top fives. Also, another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Holiday edition of Rick Emerson's Office Confidential coming up. Let's see. We got in the coupe. It's Jess on Hot Talk Tonight. Get you get Jess or Jesse?
Jesse.
Jesse, what do you got?
Hey, man. I just want to tell you that I love you.
Yeah.
But I can't believe you're admitting to crying to movies and a grown man.
No. There are movies that men are allowed to cry at.
I'll tell you this. The last movie that I cried at, I was in third grade, and it was when Optimus Prime died on the Transformers.
Dude, that was harsh. We all felt that.
I know. But since then, I mean, come on, man. You got to put on the stone face for the chick.
No. There are movies that men can cry at. Men are allowed to cry at Rudy. We can all cry at Rudy, please. A brother can cry at Rudy, and you know that I'm telling the truth there.
Yeah.
You can cry at Brian's song. Any movie that involves a sports figure either succeeding or dying of cancer, you can cry at that if you're a man.
Oh,
am I right,
laugh,
Matt?
But...
Help me out.
I would say that's probably correct. I would also say that any movie that involves a man losing his dog, it's okay to cry.
Okay, especially
I agree.
If the dog
you got me there.
Dies saving the dude. You can totally cry at that.
Your dog sacrifices himself to save your life. You're allowed to weep for that dog.
Yeah, special circumstance there.
I feel it's okay for me to tear up at the end of Lord of the Rings Two Towers because it's largely an action film and there are orcs. And I feel that offsets any, you know, sort of pussy vibe.
Well, I was tearing up because I had to go to the bathroom so bad.
That's Jesse. I'll get one more here before we roll the top five. Chris in Portland, what's up?
Hey, I was just going to weigh in on the movies as well.
Yes.
You were talking about T3 and how you didn't know if anyone was coming back.
Uh-huh.
Arnold is the only one coming back, which, you know, you said China, you mentioned a China type. She was originally cast. They were talking to her to play the Terminatrix, but it didn't work out.
And so that's why it's this weird, whoever this chick is now, who I don't even know who she is.
She's hot,
good looking.
Though.
Well, yeah, she's good looking, but so what? There's like, there's a billion good looking chicks in I'm just saying, for me, the fact that a movie has a hot chick isn't really compelling to get me to watch it, because you know what? There's hot chicks all over the world on my computer, like three seconds away. It's like that Natasha Henstridge chick from Species. It's like, all right, she's an alien, she nudes up. It's like, it's just not enough to get me to a movie anymore.
And you know what drives me nuts is the fact that they hire an actor who's the same age as Edward Furlong to play the character who's progressed the same number of years as the actors have. So it's like, I guess Eddie just wanted too much money
I heard he was in rehab or something too. That's Chris in Portland. Somebody, I don't know if that's right. So I read somewhere that Edward Furlong was in rehab, or maybe he just smells bomb. I mean, like we all do. The teaser trailer, and you know, there's a difference in a teaser and a trailer. The teaser is the one where they don't show any footage for the movie. They just have sound, and maybe you hear some dialogue, and then it just says T3 coming next summer. And then the trailer is the longer one with big scenes in the movie. The teaser was great because they didn't have to show anything. You know, it was all your imagination. But as soon as, it's like the teaser for Hannibal. Man, the teaser for Hannibal was great. Because it was a cheat, because it consisted entirely of footage from Silence of the Lambs. And they just said, you know, do not approach the glass, do not touch the glass, do not hand him anything. You don't want him inside your head, blah, blah, blah. Hannibal. And then they just have Hannibal going, hello, Clarice, and whatever. And you're like, oh, yeah, Hannibal. And then as soon as the trailer came out, you smell crap a mile away. All right, Office Confidential coming up. Also, Hot Chicks Think. Here's the top five for Monday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
That is Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom.
And as we prepare to enter the third year of the 21st century, we take a look back at the top five selling albums of 2002. Honorable mention goes to the soundtrack of the film Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Props, by the way, for staying. Hasn't this been on the charts like 300 years now? I mean, it's been there forever. And it's the album least likely, too, because nobody thought this soundtrack was going to do dick. I mean, nobody thought this soundtrack was going to do anything. I mean, it's exactly the opposite of the way it normally is. You know, normally a movie comes out as a big blockbuster, then the soundtrack does okay. But this movie came and went. And the movie got universally mediocre reviews, by the way. The reviews on the movie were just relentlessly middle of the road. And what everybody singled out about the movie, oh, brother, where art thou, was the fact that the music was so great. And that the most powerful scenes in this movie were the scenes revolving around music. Like when they all go to the river, and there's the baptism, and there's the sirens, and so forth. And then the soundtrack is just amazing. It's just unbelievable. I saw this, the Down from the Mountain tour in July this year. Me and Laura, my mom, went to see this in Salem. And it's just great. Alison Krauss and Ralph Stanley, Ricky Skaggs, who I hadn't seen Ricky Skaggs live for like 10 years. It was just great. Just not enough mandolin in today's music. And it's telling, by the way, that this went, I don't know, like quintuple platinum, garnered all these Grammys, like no radio airplay at all. Like this show, like Imus, was the only radio airplay this album even got. I think there's a handful of country music stations that played this song like once, and then they just took it away because it wasn't like Shania Twain.
BMT was running the video all the time.
Hey, speaking of weird country, he's in a new Shania Twain video where it's all futuristic. Looks
isn't
like
that the exact same as her other video?
Probably. Yeah. Well, because her songs are exactly the same as her last album. Did you know there's a...
funny, they're a lot like Def Leppard albums from the early 90s.
Did you know there's a world music version of that Shania Twain album, too? I'm not kidding. There's the pop version, the country version, and then outside the U.S., Mutt Lang produced a world music version, which I'm trying to track down so we can play it, by the way.
Number 5, the soundtrack of the film 8 Mile.
All right. This is such a great song. The 8 Mile soundtrack, by the way, is kind of disappointing because it's bookended by these Eminem cuts. And, you know, it's got Jay-Z and some other stuff, which is okay. It kind of smacks a filler. But this song, this is the song I believe that ends the album. It's called Rabbit Run. It's just a great, great song. And Eminem, you know, there's this temptation to not like Eminem as much as you want to because he is so popular and because it has such mainstream success. Was it Imus and Maureen O'Dowd was talking about how he had this Beaver Cleaver quality. When Maureen O'Dowd wants to take you home and make you soup, you know that you've crossed over to the mainstream. And so there's this tendency to dismiss Eminem out of hand, but he's so good. That's the thing, is he's just so goddamn good. I mean, just because he is mainstream and selling millions of records, do you realize that Eminem made 300... Eminem products, movies and records, sold $300 million this year, 2002.
What, 8 Mile soundtrack and the Eminem show?
8 Mile, the 8 Mile soundtrack and the Eminem show, $300 million. I mean, and those are huge numbers, but he's just so good that I just don't begrudge it to him.
Number 4 are the Dixie Chicks with Home.
Have you seen the new video where this chick's all pregnant?
What, the landslide video?
Is it landslide? Yeah, where she's all out to here. That's something you don't see
rubbing
too often.
Her stomach is kind
of
gross.
I don't need to see that. Looking like some weird West Virginia Buddha or something. I mean, you want to be pregnant and all, that's fine. I don't understand the compulsion of pregnant women to bare their stomachs every time someone comes along. You know what I mean? It's like, I guess they don't have baby pictures to show. Yes, they just want to show you the actual baby. Look at my stomach. No, I really don't. No, look at it. And then everybody is here's two situations where you're obliged to say things. Do you ever notice when somebody dies, you have to say one of the following things? He looked so peaceful. Or, at least he didn't suffer. Or, here's a runner-up. Well, he's in a better place now. The same thing when somebody's pregnant, you know? I'm all pregnant. Oh, you're hardly showing it all. You still look great. Oh, that's beautiful. You've got such a glow.
The glow.
Pregnant women always have a glow. You know what that is? We call that sweat. That's what that is. Women don't glisten.
They're hot flashes.
Yeah, sweating is what that is.
Number 3 is Avril Lavigne and Let's Go.
Yeah. I saw this video for the first time yesterday. I've never seen this video.
No, she's being such a badass.
With this stinking gorilla.
Smashing those windows with her guitar.
Yes.
She's so cool.
The thing is, I really do like the song. I mean, Matt and I have been back and forth about this, that we love the song so much, but I try not to see the videos because she is so irritating in the videos, because she's so perky, and she's just like somebody's convinced her to pose as this, like, knife-wielding badass, which
but
is...
But all her songs are complete and utter pop.
And it's completely unconvincing. She's, like, 18, and she's from a town of 3,000 people in Canada.
She's just a Canadian kicking up her heels.
Let me tell you this. No one from Canada's a badass. No one anywhere. Name me one Canadian badass. I mean, from this century. A
few hockey players, maybe.
Well, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, there's a lot of hockey players in the hockey season. Yeah.
So I'll grant you that. There's nobody from, I mean, God love people from Canada. There are a lot of things. They're nice. I'm sure they're clean-smelling people. They're not badasses. That goes double when you're a 19-year-old girl. Great song, though. I wonder who actually wrote it.
Well, here's someone who's definitely not from Canada. It's Nelly with Nellyville.
He's from the 319 or something, isn't he?
I don't know. What's St. Louis?
Hey, he's from someplace.
The 319?
No, because when he gets... Have you seen his stage show? When he gets lower to the stage, it's inside a giant box on the front of which is written the area code of St. Louis, where it's like 319.
I must have missed that one.
And he starts busting it out for the... You know, the homies back in the hood, or, you know, whatever. Where, homie,
Richard, like, are you a homie?
Chill.
You can have a real hood.
Not homely. There's a difference.
How can you have a hood if you live in St. Where is it? St. Louis?
Louis.
Nah, that's a poor man's hood.
It's not like he's from St. John's.
No, nice, but I bet his neighborhood looks a lot like Tim's.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of rundown houses with a Ben sitting in front of one of them.
And a guy...
whole different reason.
And a guy down the street who killed somebody.
Now everyone's afraid of me.
It's because you're from the STJ. Yeah.
Tim's rolling deep in the Benz. That's what's up.
You know what's embarrassing is that I love that Dilemma song with Kelly Rowland, which is shameful. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, I guess he's keeping it real, isn't he?
Yes.
The Dilemma song with Kelly.
Number one, it's Eminem again. Didn't we already play him with the Eminem show?
Oh. Get ready. This is about to get heavy. I just settled all my lawsuits. You get it. This is the number one video on that 50 greatest at the MTV countdown from yesterday. And again, you know, it's so tempting. You feel like part of you, like you got to keep your street cred by not liking Eminem because he's so popular. But it's such a damn good song, though. I mean, this album is just so good front to back. With the exception of that hideous song, Drift, which I cannot listen to because it describes... It's like some song about having... I don't know. It's some song about having, like, a urinary tract infection, which I don't need to hear. But this song is great, and it's good. It's got all that's got My Dad's Gone Crazy. It's got Till I Collapse with Nate Dogg, which I think, for my money, is the best song on the album.
Well, at least he's not smashing windows in Canada with his guitar.
No. The best song on the album is White America.
White America's a great song, too. Business is a great song. I'm not really a big fan of that Sing for the Moment thing where he samples the Earthmen. That seems beneath him, that really obvious wholesale sampling. You sent for me. Apparently he's got his new album recorded, finished, and in the can, but they're not going to let it out to 2004. He's going to sit on it for a year so he doesn't get overexposed, or any more overexposed.
Oh, he's trying to, you know, give the others the chance to sell a little bit more because he hasn't made quite enough money.
A little bit left over for Jay-Z. All right, we'll be back with the How Chicks Think. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's Hot Talk 1080 KTK. Biscuit bastards and Moby, you can get stoned by Obi. 36-year-old boy headed back. You don't know me, you're too old, let go, it's over. Nobody listens to sex, no, no, let's go. Just give me the signal, I'll be there with a hole. Let's flow in the wind, close up in dough. Suspenseful with a pencil, ever since Prince turned himself into a symbol. But sometimes it just seems everybody only wants to disgust me. So this must mean I'm disgusting. But it's just me, I'm just a scene. Hell, I'm not the first king of controversy. I am the worst thing from Elvis Presley to do black music so selfishly. And use it to get myself wealthy. Hey, there's a concept that works. 20 million other white rappers emerge. But no matter how many fish in the sea, it'll be so empty without me.
From Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080.
This is Cold Cut, by the way, for those of you playing the Rick Emerson bumper music game at home.
We ready to roll? It's another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk.
What a girl
wants, whatever makes me happy, that's you. And I'm thankful. All right, now this is a follow-up question. I don't know if we have time to do this whole thing. I, you remember emailed in, and the girl stopped having sex halfway through. And then we were all about, you got to kick her to the curb. So he emails back. Question for Jolie. It is your loyal listener, Gabe, again, and I have one more question. I have my friend's wife trying to hook me up with her cousin and her cousin's friend. She wants me to get with both of them at the same time. I think it is a great idea, but I want your advice on I want Jolie's advice. Also, the lady that stopped having sex with me in the middle got the can. She was a nutcase from the depths of hell. Please help me with your great knowledge. Thank you, loyal listener Gabe. So you see, this is how the universe works out. A little bad karma, a little good karma. You get rid of the psycho chick who quits having the sex halfway through, suddenly friend's wife trying to hook you up with two chicks. I don't know what that is all about. Friend's wife trying to hook me up with her cousin and her cousin's friend. She wants me to get with both of them at the same time. Now, I'm unclear about...
What's the question here?
I don't know. That's what lubricant to use or something? Or what type of restraints? Jolie, your thoughts?
Wow.
Buy the 36-pack of condoms before going in that evening?
This boy needs some help.
And a video camera.
Yeah, well, I was
gonna... good audio, too, though. Nice little bat recorder.
I'll be willing to help with that. Yeah, I'll hold the tripod.
That's important, because, you know, most of those video cameras don't have good audio recording.
Oh, you guys.
I'm listening.
This could go a couple of ways, really. I didn't have enough detail. Because it could be the date that he's been fantasizing about forever, or it could be the end of his friendship with this guy. Because I'm imagining he's talking about a threesome,
yeah.
But he could be talking about dating the girls separately without them knowing.
No, it sounds to me like a threesome. Let me read a sentence again. I have my friend's wife trying to hook me up with her cousin and her cousin's friend. She wants me to get with both of them at the same time. Doesn't sound like simultaneous dating. That sounds like simultaneous doing.
Does he really need to ask?
Well, I presumably he feels he does. I don't know what it is he thinks he's asking about.
I want to know what...
I don't know what the wife is getting out of
it. Yeah, have they talked to the cousin and the friend? I mean, the wife doesn't
bring it
say,
on him.
Hey, you know, I want you to do it with my cousin and her friend.
I don't know what that's all about.
They must have been talking about it before.
And is with the cousin and the cousin and the cousin's friend, are they into each other, or are they both just going to be servicing our man Gabe?
I think they're lesbians.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I think all women are really lesbians to give enough beer. Seriously.
Oh, yeah,
this
right.
This is one of my maxims. Oh. Every woman is a six-pack away from her first bisexual experience.
Oh,
you know that's true. You totally know it's true. Don't lie.
No, I don't think so.
Buy you enough Jaeger. I'm just saying that there's another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. Apparently what the girl needs is to get with an immediate family member. Which whatever strokes your yoke. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955.